welcome to the Soft Shoulder Podcast. This is a podcast about creativity and self-love, growing through breakups, and marrying yourself. My name is Danette Relic. I am an author. I am a coach. I am an artist. I am renewing my self-marriage wedding vows very soon, and that's what this episode is about. I contain multitudes, as do you. Special thanks to the magical assistants of Tech Witch Allison Tarr and the music you hear by Lee Rosevere. The Soft Shoulder is brought to you by my book, Crash Bloom, a creative guide for growing through your breakup. Available wherever you enjoy buying books. Dear listener, I'm excited to share this with you. So if you've been following, if you've been listening, if you're a new listener, welcome. And if you are a seasoned listener, you know, I started a series about the art of self-marriage, about the five-part process. And the last two parts have yet to be released because I have yet to record them. And there's a reason for it, okay? So the first one was the spark. The second one was the truth. Part three was the decision. And what's so interesting to me is, you know, just how I can see through my work where I get stuck, or where I wouldn't even say it's getting stuck. I would say something's not ripe. It's not ready yet. It's just not ready yet. So it's interesting that I stopped right there at the decision and wasn't moving through the other parts of it. The truth is, my personal experience, my self-love story, this began a very long time ago. And I have this big anniversary coming up. It's really impressive. You know, I'm just going to say this. I am impressed with myself. I think it's impressive for any marriage to make it this long. And I don't know that many. There are some of us out there, but there's to have a self-marriage moving into a silver anniversary. It's something that I'm very proud of. And I think what had happened was, you know, when I was reflecting on my self-marriage story and thinking about the importance of how it all unfolded, I was coming up to this anniversary, and this is new for me. Obviously, this is a new milestone. I don't have a map. I didn't have a map the first time. But what was needed was for me to not be thinking about my marriage to myself in the way that I had been, and for me to get back in touch deeper with my intuition around this, with the playfulness around this, the resourcefulness around this. Because when I first married myself, it was 2001, a baby, just a baby of a year, right? And I didn't know what coaching was, and I didn't know, like, I wasn't talking about it because there's lots of reasons why. But there was no context, no framework around this being a process or a thing that I would ever speak of. And so I was fortunate to be in this quiet, unformed place, really close with my creativity. I'm appreciating it now on a level that I just couldn't have had at the time, you know? And it's that kind of headspace that's been needed as I circle around to this silver anniversary. And I was resisting it, and then I finally just kind of came to, I'm going to confess. I had these ideas of how I wanted to celebrate this anniversary. I mean, 5 years ago, I had fantasies about this big anniversary, and I was putting quite a lot of pressure onto it and some dreamy, like, big fantasy onto it, which is like, I love that for me. That's great. And it's the things that I was imagining and where I'm at in life at this particular moment doesn't line up. It was not prioritized. The last 5 years have required my attention in different ways. and the things I was fantasizing about 5 years ago, me, it's not appropriate at this particular moment in time. But there was like a little bit of grief there of like, oh, maybe did I let myself down? Did I fail somehow if I'm not doing this big epic thing? And I, you know, it took me a beat to get over that. And it really, what really happened was I remembered the whole point of this. And it wasn't about a lavish celebration. It wasn't about meeting a standard, even if it's an enjoyable one, you know. It wasn't about performance at all. It wasn't public at all. Very few people, I think only like 2 people knew it was happening. And there was something really special about that. And so I reconnected with it. I came to my journal and I thought, you know, when I got married to myself, I was like an art, well, I guess I had graduated. So I was like, you know, just out of art college and, you know, living in a shared house and had very, very little money and was just so green, you know. And I created with what I had. I found things in my art supplies. I found things in my neighborhood. I figured things out and I thought of symbols that meant something to me, songs that felt important. I assembled together this like patchwork kind of coat of many colors self-marriage ritual and did it myself, calling in sick at the job that I wasn't, you know, had a terrible time at and went to Center Island and married myself, you know. There was no part of me then that thought I needed to do anything other than that. And so I decided to recreate my first ceremony this year. For my anniversary, I am going right back to, I don't know, close to where I got married, because I have no idea where that was. That was another thing. I knew I wanted to be on a beach, so I went to Toronto Islands, and I just wandered. It was like, I wasn't familiar with it. There was so much trust and whimsy in the day. There were things that I planned that were really important, and then there was also so much room to wander, which is something that I very much love to do. And it felt very precious and lovely and unrushed. And so I, you know, I think I got off the ferry boat and was like, I think when my friends and I came here for Canada Day, we kind of walked that way. I think there's a beach. Like, I had no idea. And I just found a place. I found a place that was quiet. I found a place that felt right. And then I just sat down and got, you know, got things rolling. And so I'm going to do the same thing very shortly. And I'm really excited about it. Thinking about my anniversary, well, having the anniversary coming up and thinking about my first marriage ceremony to myself, it's been such a beautiful, and I'm kind of shocked. I really can't, it's difficult to believe that much time has passed, and yet here we are. So I'm remembering the Danette of that time, who I was. I have the photos. I can see her. I can remember that day, little snippets of it quite clearly. And it's so beautiful that I can have this opportunity to love her from this place in the future and to remember her and to be so grateful for her. And I'm also a completely new woman of a completely different age with 25 years of experience, 25 years of commitment to loving myself under my belt. I don't really wear belts, but under my caftan. and there's instantly I'm like, oh my gosh, I've learned a lot. I have a lot of wisdom. I have a lot of experience. I am very much at like coming into comfort and pride on the throne of this experience. And this is what I get to bring that's new to the ceremony where I will renew my vows. It's so lovely. So coming back to this process has been really interesting because, as I mentioned, you know, I was recording these podcasts about the art of self-marriage process and hadn't personally been involved in that work in this really like deep way in a long time. I was deeply involved in the marriage, you know, in the day-to-day marriage, all the reflections, the good times, the hard times. But it had been almost 25 years since I had been deeply involved in the ceremony where it all began. And I have to say, I took myself out to the Art Gallery of Ontario. I went and brought my journal there. And that's a really special place for me. And I lived like up the street from there when I married myself. And as I was journaling, like, it was just all coming back to me. And like tears were flowing. And I started falling in love with this process. And symbols started revealing themselves to me in my writing. I took my own journal prompts and started answering questions to see, well, what are my vows right now? What, yes, I may be renewing the vows that I took that long ago, but what is the vow I'm making now? Why am I doing any of this? What's happening? Writing about all of this, having it all come up, the prompts were great. I'm going to like applaud somewhat recently in the past, Danette, for these really excellent prompts, this really excellent designed program. And it was so cool to go through it and to be in the place where I'm actually planning the ceremony, you know, where I'm also a client. So I, things emerged, themes emerged, vows emerged. And as they did, all these like little rituals that I'm really excited to share with you. And I'm just deciding now which ones I will keep private and which ones I will share. Because as I mentioned, when I first got married to myself, I wasn't in any kind of line of work where I was talking about my personal growth with anyone. And, you know, I had a landline and no computer. So I was not, you know, this whole idea of like sharing and consuming these stories and who gets to see them wasn't even something I had to think about at all. Now I want to think about like the joy that I have of sharing it and how that's been a gift for others, an inspiration for others. I love. And I also want to be careful because this somehow beautifully has come together in my work. And I also want to honor that not everything about my self-marriage is for consumption. Not everything about my private life is for sharing. And so I will be sharing some of it, but I'm just that question. Do you ever ask yourself that? I don't know how much you post or share in the world right now, whether you have a business that also kind of like involves your personal life and relationships. But it's an interesting question to ask. What is personal and what is private? What is like a vulnerable share that you might do in a small group? And what is that like? It's not going to have a digital footprint at all, you know? Thinking about that has been interesting. And I'm making a playlist that I can tell you. I will share that playlist. I'm making a playlist of songs that feel relevant now. It includes my engagement song that I was embarrassed about for a very long time. and some new songs because this is a new ceremony. And I'm not sure how I'm going to use it entirely. I think I'm going to use 3 songs in the ceremony. I've got like a rough sketch about how it's going to go. There will probably be a song at the beginning, you know, invoking things and setting the stage. And there will be a reflection song somewhere in the middle. There's definitely going to be at least one dance and celebration song to close. But I gave myself some options. I have a little arc of a playlist so I can just intuit in the moment which ones I will play. And I'm using silver in creative ways because the 25th is the silver anniversary. I'm grateful that I wasn't in the position to execute these grand plans I had. I'm actually really grateful. At first, I thought, okay, well, these plans aren't going to happen the way I had envisioned them in my giant fantasy 5 years ago. But, you know, I can do something else. But there was that little kind of child part of me that was like, all right, like we can't go to Disneyland, but we can like slide down the stairs. Like we know this is not the same thing, you know, like it's not as fun as what we wanted originally. So I kind of had that little feeling of like, well, all right, we're compromising, but you know, that's, it is what it is. It was fine. I was like at peace with it, but not thrilled. And just once the journaling started going, once I went for a walk and was looking for some beads to do something really cool that I'm incorporating into the ceremony, and I started choosing the color, choosing the texture, thinking about how I would carry it there, thinking about the order of these things, what I might do with it after, all these little, like looking at all of the meaning and meaningful ways that I could incorporate these, like these symbols and these objects and these words and these songs and that place, you know, it just, I suddenly didn't want whatever it was that I wanted 5 years ago. I sincerely didn't want it. If I had to choose right now, I would choose this. And so I'm really grateful for that, to like bring me back down to earth, bring me back home to myself and to the point of self-marriage to me. I was reminded of why the name, The Art of Self-Marriage, felt right when it came to me, because it really was about the art part. It was about, you know, when you make art, it can be from anything. It can be from nothing. It's about what you do and what you choose. It's not about how fancy your supplies are. It's not about whether somebody accepts your work into a gallery. It's not about that stuff. The art of self-marriage means that you are responding artfully. You are imagining things. You are finding meaning. You are drawing, maybe not conclusions, but you are drawing parallels, connections, constellations. You're getting whimsical. You are doing whatever kind of art you make, which will be different from the kind of art that I make. And that's why, you know, over the years, I had been so tempted to make a template. I'd been told by consultants that I should make like a template and a blueprint. And it never felt right. It just didn't, because I was like, well, this isn't, what I did isn't going to be what they do. The art that I respond to is not going to be the art that you respond to necessarily. And so much of the joy comes from the fact that I've created it, and that I created it in a whole series of little decisions, thoughtful decisions, thoughtful reflections. I loved having the guidance, actually. Once I had distilled this 5-part process, it was really cool to come and do the same ceremony, but with the guidance of the 5-part process of The Art of Self-Marriage. Because, you know, the first one was just a spontaneous creation. So recreating that, I'm just having so much fun. And my anniversary happens to fall on a Sunday this year. And I did not get married on a Sunday. I got married during the week, and I called in sick from work, and I went to the island, and school isn't quite out yet. And so it was quiet, a midweek quiet thing in the morning. And that's what I'm going to do. So I'm letting go of the fact that it won't be the exact date, but on a day kind of close to it, I will be there. I will be there with my original witness, Louis Lapin, my bunny, who is like, now he's so old. This is a stuffed bunny that I bought for myself when I was in Paris, when I was a young art student. And it was such a treat that I gave myself. I fell in love with him. And he was who I brought to the beach that first time and sat him there as my witness. And he's still around, but he's like a mustard colored rabbit. And he He's a little, I described him as being a little more Dijon than he used to be, but he's, you know, I love him very much. So he will be joining me. And I've also decided to creatively bring in other witnesses without inviting anyone to come with me. But at this point, I know my self-marriage, like all good marriages, you know, they don't happen completely on their own in isolation. They happen and they involve the community around them, the family around them, the chosen family around them. And I've had people witness my marriage to myself in a way that is close, in a way that is intimate, in a way that has, you know, given me that kind of support that you would get when you're in a marriage and you have like other relatives or close people who want the marriage to succeed and who really understand what it means when you make a commitment like that. They're not flippant with advice or encouraging you to betray anything, you know, people who really respect the vow. When I first went, almost 25 years ago, I was celebrating my decision to marry myself. And now I'm celebrating my commitment that I've kept. There was a commitment that I was making the first time, and now I'm going to honor the commitment that I have kept and renew that commitment for, you know, indefinitely. I don't know when my next ceremony will be. I get to make that up. But I really feel humbled by it. I really feel like kind of in awe by it. And getting to see, I always described that first marriage, the one to myself. I'm not, I act like another me is going to come along and be like, this is my second wife. But, you know, I like puppy love, I've described it as that I was young and there was so many things I didn't really understand about what I was yet to experience in the landscapes of love, both to myself and with others and just with life and being a grown-up, being a human being in this life, aging, evolving, creating, all of it. I had no idea. So I had that kind of thing that young couples have, you know, this like beautiful innocence and enthusiasm. And I'm so glad that she did that. I'm so glad that I did that. And I'm just really loving getting to reflect quite humbly on all the things that have shaped me, all the things that have shaped this relationship, all the things, all the decisions that I have made because of this commitment and how that has altered the course of my life entirely. It's impossible to know, but there's so many choice points where my marriage came up, where I had to, where it was go time, you know, and it was like, okay, are you keeping this commitment to yourself or not? Like, oh, this is going against that vow you made. Really reminding myself and bringing myself back, questioning whether or not other relationships were serving this primary relationship or not. And how could I really have my own back? How could I really fight for myself? How could I speak more loving and kind to myself? This was an ongoing thing, right? Relationships are living things like plants, you know, and you need to be tending to them. You don't just set them and forget them, even the succulents. There's conditions that need to be created, ongoing. And it's a joy to tend to a garden that you love. And so I'm looking at 25 years of this as a compass, of self-love as a compass, of the commitment to self-love as a compass specifically. And I'm just really in awe and I'm really proud and I'm going to have fun. I'm going to have so much fun on this day. I'm really excited about it. I feel sparkly about it. I feel really, really excited. So it all makes sense now why the Art of Self-Marriage series on this podcast stopped at the decision, because part four is the ceremony. And that I am just in it right now. I am like in the joy of it right now. And so I'm excited to return to that series and bring that to you from a place of a little more aliveness, a little less reflection from like back in the day, and a little bit more of like, ooh, I can feel it right now. I'm almost embarrassed to say I'd forgotten how exciting it was. I had a memory, like a mental memory of it, but I'm feeling it in new ways. I'm feeling it like everywhere, and it's energizing. It's surprisingly delightful and energizing. And I just can't wait to do it. If you are interested, of course, in doing this yourself, I highly, highly recommend it. If you want support, guidance, mentorship, I can be your self-marriage muse and mentor. Reach out to me anytime. And in the meantime, dear listener, wherever you are, I'm sending you so much love. I'm reminding you that you are worth loving and committing to. And just do something just a little bit nice for yourself this week. Just a little treat, a little thing. Make your bed like you're a special guest. Like, you know, when you make your bed, like when someone's coming over for like the first time and you're like, you know, just me. I know it's not just me, but like, welcome yourself like that to a place in your home. It doesn't have to involve money. It doesn't have to involve you sending yourself roses. Although if you want to do that, go for it. But you know, it can just be those little things, how you arrange things, how you create your environment, how you show up to the day. Even just a playlist, actually, that you feel good to and you want to strut to. It could be really, really nice. We all make those playlists for people we crush on. What if it was you? Dear listener, you are someone worth loving. It all starts with you. Take good care of yourself, and we will talk to you again soon.